It's Wednesday, January 28th, 2009, day six of
President Obama DEA Raid Watch.
In 2008, candidate Barack Obama was asked about his position on DEA raids on California medical marijuana providers.
When it comes to medical marijuana, I have more of a practical view than anything else.
On Tuesday, January 20th, 2009, Barack Obama was inaugurated as our 44th president of the United States.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
On Thursday, January 22nd, 2009, Barack Obama's Justice Department resources were used in a DEA raid to circumvent California's medical marijuana laws.
I want folks to be investigating violent crimes and potential terrorism.
President Obama, you can redirect Justice Department resources, but so far, you've said and done nothing.
We've got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with.
Mr. Obama, shut down these raids. Brought to you by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at norml.org, who believe it should be normal for politicians to listen to the will of the people. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. We've got plenty of stash for you today. I hope you've liked the upgrades we've made over at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. You can create your own user account now, and when you have a user account, that allows you to access the Secret Stash. The Secret Stash includes downloads of our musical break tunes, now christened the Daily Toker Tunes. More about that in a second. And also, this week we are showing some videos from the normal $10,000 Pro Cannabis Ad Campaign Contest. Only registered users get to see them, though. So sign in at stash.normal.org, look for the register link, and create your account today. Also want to thank all the stashers out there who've been participating in our latest project. We call this the Politicians on Pot Project. And what we're doing is asking you to write to your two senators and one representative and ask them to support either legalization, decriminalization, or medical marijuana. It's up to you, however you want to go with it, but get your responses back from them and send them to me here at stash@normal.org, and we'll post them so they're searchable, and we can get these politicians on the record and show the world how far behind they are compared to the people on this issue. Also want to give a heads up to those stashers out there in New Jersey who are fighting for medical marijuana out there. There's going to be a seminar on Tuesday, February 3rd, a medical marijuana seminar featuring Ken Wolski from the New Jersey Coalition for Compassionate Care, and also national radio personality and good friend of the stash, Chris Goldstein. What am I saying? Good friend. He founded the Normal Daily Audio Stash and picked me to take over when he left for another gig. Great to see Chris is getting involved with the medical marijuana movement out there in New Jersey. Any New Jersey stashers out there, if you go to that seminar on Tuesday, February 3rd, tell them Radical Russ says hi. You know what I mean? Now, of course, today is our daily dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, and we're going to be talking about some studies that have taken a look at teen use of marijuana and what reasons teens cite for either not starting marijuana or quitting marijuana. It might be kind of a surprise to the drug czar to hear the result of this one. Also, Dr. Mitch reviews some of the data on truancy and teen use of marijuana, whether one is a predictor of the other. You might be surprised by the answer on that as well. Joining us in our second interview, we're going to be speaking with Tim Carl. Tim Carl's a student, or was a student, at the University of Central Florida, and he has a story of drug stings gone awry that didn't end as badly as Rachel Hoffman. But again, a great lesson to learn for people to call a lawyer if you get in trouble for marijuana. So we'll be speaking with Tim in our second interview segment. Before I forget, the other thing I had to mention, yes, the Daily Toker Tunes. It's always kind of a struggle for me to find music for the stash every day. It's just a lot of searching and listening and scanning through things that I really don't have the time for anymore. So, in an answer to my prayers, I got an email from the Global Marijuana Music Awards. A guy named Tam, who runs that down there in Australia, actually, is now going to be taking over the duties of the Daily Toker Tunes. He'll be starting on Monday, posting the songs and writing up the reviews of them and hosting them up online and so on. So that'll free me up for a little bit more of the stash work. So a big welcome to MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. Our new sponsors of the Daily Toker Tunes. All right, Stashers, lots of stuff to get to, so let's light them up. It's time for your normal daily audio stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Senate Judiciary Committee approves Holder as Attorney General. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted Wednesday to advance the nomination of Eric Holder to become President Obama's Attorney General. 6 Republicans voted with Democrats in favor of Holder, assuring him of confirmation by the full Senate. Holder would become the first African-American to serve as Attorney General. Holder made headlines and won applause from Democrats when he declared the practice of waterboarding akin to torture and illegal. Judiciary Committee Chairman Senator Patrick Leahy said Holder could receive a vote before the full Senate as early as Thursday. Yeah, Holder faced some controversy when senators questioned him about waterboarding enemy combatants and his role in pardons at the end of the Clinton administration. Can you guess which controversial subject involving Eric Holder was not even mentioned by the Senate Judiciary Committee? Holder is convinced that selling marijuana in drug-plagued D.C. should be a felony, not simply a misdemeanor as current law dictates. Quote, I have taken a lot of grief for my attempt to make selling marijuana a felony in the district, not just a misdemeanor. I introduced the legislation in December that would make distribution and possession with the intent to distribute marijuana a 5-year felony. I've been criticized for it by reporters in various publications, saying things like I have reefer madness. Given the harm that drugs have done, I believe that mandatory minimum sentences are appropriate and make the Superior Court's drug court more effective, end quote. Eric Holder, quoted in the Washington Post, 1997, when he was the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. Not even a question about that when Eric Holder is going to be responsible for controlling the DEA and whether or not they're going to be raiding medical marijuana dispensaries. No controversy there? Oh, whoops, I'm sorry. I forgot. Holder was being grilled by the U.S. Senate, where the idea of a 5-year prison term for smoking pot isn't at all controversial. U.S. Supreme Court says passenger can be frisked without cause. Washington, D.C. The Supreme Court ruled Monday that police officers have leeway to frisk a passenger in a car stopped for a traffic violation, even if nothing indicates the passenger has committed a crime or is about to do so. The court on Monday unanimously overruled an Arizona appeals court that threw out evidence found during such an encounter. The case involved a 2002 pat-down search of an Eloy, Arizona man by an Oro Valley police officer who found a gun and marijuana. The justices accepted Arizona's argument that traffic stops are inherently dangerous for police and that pat-downs are permissible when an officer has a reasonable suspicion that the passenger may be armed and dangerous. The pat-down is allowed if the police, quote, harbor reasonable suspicion that a person subjected to the frisk is armed and therefore dangerous to the safety of the police and public, end quote, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said. Probable cause is a much stricter test than reasonable suspicion. I would take this decision to mean that if a cop pulls you and your friend over, you're both getting frisked if the cop feels like it. After all, when would an officer's suspicion about the possibility of an armed passenger be unreasonable? Unless you're naked or a quadriplegic, it's reasonable to suspect you may be hiding something that could be a weapon. Still, if you find yourself in the situation as a passenger or driver where a police officer asks you to step out of the car, do it, and roll up the windows and lock the doors behind you. If they want to touch you in any way, say, "Officer, I do not consent to any searches and I wish to speak with my attorney." Do not resist or touch the officer. Be polite and put up with the frisk, even if you're holding. So long as you keep your mouth shut, aside from saying exactly, "Officer, I do not consent to any searches and I wish to speak to my attorney," you'd be surprised what problems your normal legal committee attorney can get you out of. For example, if he pats you down, that's allowable. But if he pinches that joint through your shirt pocket and rolls it around between his fingers, that could be an illegal search and get thrown out of court. President Obama appoints acting director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Edward Jurath has served as general counsel of the Office of National Drug Control Policy since 1994. He was appointed to serve as the acting director of ONDCP by President Obama on January 20, 2009. Mr. Jurath previously served as acting director under an appointment by President Clinton on January 10, 2001, and served in that position until December 7, 2001. Well, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Literally. Among many accomplishments in Mr. Jurath's bio, this one jumped out at me. While on the staff of the Select Committee on Narcotics Abuse and Control, he was instrumental in the development of the Anti-Drug Abuse Acts of 1986 and 1988. These laws provide the statutory framework for the current U.S. national drug control policy. Those would be the same anti-drug abuse acts that created mandatory minimum sentencing and were championed by Vice President Biden at the time. Since the appointment is for acting director, it suggests President Obama still has someone permanent in mind to be named later. Maybe he's stalling to find just the right person to continue something that 70% of the people feel is a failed policy and that he himself once called, quote, an utter failure, end quote.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
House GOP leader Representative John Boehner on legalization. The House Minority Leader, John Boehner, was interviewed from the Dig Dialogue segment on CNN.com. And, of course, the first question asked by the public to a politician is once again about marijuana legalization.
This was the most popular question that was voted on in the last 2 days. Why is it that drugs, alcohol and tobacco, that kill thousands of people each year are legal, yet drugs such as marijuana, which are used for medical purposes and do far less harm and don't cause death, are illegal?
Well, I think that, you know, whether it's the American Medical Association, American Cancer Society, all of those people, by and large, don't believe there's any medicinal value in marijuana. The law enforcement community believes that if we were to legalize drugs, all we're going to do is increase the amount of crime that we have on our streets. And so it's these are tough, difficult issues that lawmakers have to deal with. But one of our problems in our government is that all of those lately seem to be coming to Washington. We've got 50 states. I'm a big believer that states ought to be able to write their own laws. But it's a lot of different ways that people push these issues into Washington. But by and large, these rules are mostly written at the state level.
So let me just clarify that. If it were to be legalized, do you think that a state should be allowed to legalize?
I think states ought to have the ability to control the laws in their states. You know, if it comes to national security, it comes to national technology, it comes to interstate commerce, there are clearly going to be some national issues. But when it comes to the legalization of drugs, I don't think it's a good idea. I know people disagree. It's part of our democracy. We can discuss these issues. We can agree or disagree and continue to have a conversation about it.
So which is it, Representative Boehner? Do you support states making their own laws or not? Out of one side of your mouth, you seem to be saying you support states' rights to determine their own laws. Out of the other side, you seem to be saying the federal government is correct in squashing state laws that legalize medical marijuana. And it's a bit disingenuous to say that the American Cancer Society and the American Medical Association don't think cannabis is medicinal. They have an issue with the smoking of cannabis. Both believe there is enough medicinal promise in cannabinoids that they have endorsed more research into it.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Who is telling you the truth about marijuana? The government? Scientists? Doctors? Which claims are scientifically valid and which claims are reefer madness? Every Wednesday, we separate the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with NORML's look at cannabis science. Time once again for our dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Welcome back, Mitch.
So happy to be back.
All right. So we're looking today at a couple of studies that you sent me by email, and these both have to do with students, younger students here, high school students. And we're always looking at ways to reduce teen use of marijuana. We recognize that there are problems with developing adolescents and using marijuana. We want to prevent those dangers that might be there. So this first study that we were talking about would be why high school students don't smoke pot. Why do they stop smoking pot? And there's some pretty surprising results here.
Well, I was really pleased that this even got done in the first place. This is not the kind of question that you often see addressed. And this is in one of my favorite journals, the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs. And it's by that splendid group of researchers at the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan. And they've got a huge data set of folks who've basically been followed around for quite some time, and they've been assessing huge samples of high school students from 1977 all the way through 2005, and they've got over 80,000 respondents in this sample. So, I mean, I feel like this is a big enough sample to really take seriously when you look at the results. And all they really asked was, how come you don't use marijuana, or, you know, why would you not want to use it? And really, the results were intriguing as they could be. When we think about prohibition and how prohibition is supposed to work, ideally, prohibition should increase the expense of whatever product is being prohibited, in this case cannabis, or make folks fear arrest. And that those two things ought to, you know, essentially make people steer away from whatever's being prohibited. Well, when you take a close look at these data, you find out some pretty encouraging things as far as why repeal would be a great idea. So of these, you know, 80,000 students, only 6% said, the reason I don't use marijuana is I can't get it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not available. I mean, it's almost laughable when you think, here we have, you know, these horrible laws essentially criminalizing possession of a plant, and it doesn't even have an impact on the folks we're trying to protect the most.
Sure. And doesn't that go back to that data that we see when they survey the kids and ask them, you know, how easy would it be for them to get marijuana? And, you know, 85-90% of them say it would be either fairly easy or very easy.
Exactly. And then you compare that to beer,
yeah,
where the percentages are usually less. So here we have, you know, a tax and regulated market with IDs required for purchase does a better job than leaving things to the underground market. As I often yell out to my big class, when was the last time your dealer carded you? And, of course, nobody can raise their hand to that one.
What other reasons?
Other results that I thought were intriguing were they said, well, how many of you would say the reason you don't use it is that it's too expensive?
Yeah.
And less than a quarter of them said that was a reason. And in part, it's, you know, really another sign that prohibition isn't doing the job it ought to do, because, you know, a highly prohibited substance ought to have a price increase that would discourage people from using for that very reason. And, of course, that doesn't seem to pan out at all. And then concerned about getting arrested, which, you know, should be the other big motivator behind a prohibition, fewer than half, 45%, said that this was a concern. And when you look about, you know, what are the things that really matter to them, don't feel like getting high, 61% said that's the reason. And what would be a better reason than that, I really can't think of.
So this is 60% of the people that are taking this supposedly highly addictive drug are just stopping because they want to?
Well, not all of them have even tried. So some of them, they're just saying, you know, would you definitely not want to use, for what reason? And
gotcha.
They say, well, I'm not interested.
Gotcha.
And in fact, this confirms some data gathered by Duncan back in the 80s that, you know, by far the reason most people don't use cannabis is because they don't want to. And it has nothing to do with penalties or the severity of penalties. And again, when we look across different countries with a variety of penalties for possession, we see again that the impact of those is relatively minor, unless you create penalties that are just so outrageous that, you know, it destroys all kinds of civil liberties.
Yeah, and you mentioned the comparison to the regulated alcohol market. A comparison that Paul Armentano makes all the time is the regulated tobacco market, and how in, you know, my lifetime, we've seen teen use of cigarettes drop in half. We didn't arrest anybody. We didn't fine anybody. We just educated people.
And in fact, when you look at the negative consequences of tobacco and really spread the word, of course people make that same decision. They don't want to be involved in that because it just doesn't seem like it's worth it. And I think as we spread the word about, you know, genuine potential problems with heavy use early in life, and, you know, do it in a way that people could actually believe us rather than making up crazy things about gateways or aggression or anything like that, then I think we will see a decline in at least heavy regular use in teens. And with a tax and regulated market, that will also decrease availability. Clearly, we couldn't do worse than having 6.6% of the people say the reason they don't use is that it's not available.
Really? Now, in this study, were there any variations based on gender or race or socioeconomic backgrounds or anything?
There are some intriguing ethnic and socioeconomic links, and you know, they're sort of the things that would make sense. So the folks who say it's too expensive are, of course, the folks who don't have as much money.
Yeah.
So no giant surprises there, but the sort of recurring theme that really making it clear that the reason folks don't want to get involved is that they're just not interested is, I think, a nice message. The other one, just given that, you know, some of the things that I've said in the Parents Guide, 58% said my parents would disapprove. And I feel like even among cannabis-using parents, getting the message across to teens that I really want to wait until your brain is fully developed before you have exposure to this is a wonderful message to send, and data are on your side for why you could say that, and by all means, nobody should hesitate to spread that word around.
Mm. Now, this other study that we wanted to take a look at has to do with truancy, the old skipping school, and again, another possibly surprising finding here.
Well, the funny thing about this is, even in, you know, relatively recent research, the tacit assumption has always been somehow marijuana leads to school dropout or leads to screwing up in school in some crazy way. And some previous data I've talked about before, trying to link marijuana and grades in school, did a great job of looking back at grades in fourth grade when I seriously doubt anybody was using cannabis very regularly, and found that those students who were using marijuana and ending up with poor grades actually had poor grades all the way back in fourth grade.
Oh.
So it's not that cannabis causes screw-ups in grades. I think it's kids who are screwing up in school end up turning to cannabis. And these data are also at least consistent with some of those ideas. So it's not that marijuana makes you not go to school. It's that kids who have already decided to screw off and not go to school have all this time on their hands and end up being sort of unsupervised and unmonitored and, you know, catch themselves in situations where they're offered cannabis and end up using it more.
Mm. So the marijuana use may be more a symptom of something else that's going on.
And in fact, it seems to be, although not from these data, but from other studies as well, just sort of a sign of early adolescent disengagement from society's rules in general. So these kids often have less commitment to school, they have more delinquent values, lower grade point averages, and, you know, other data suggests they don't wear their seat belts, that they like to, you know, ride the front car on the roller coaster. I mean, it's clearly more about personality than it is about some wild effect of a plant.
So, but again, the use itself is not a predictor of the kid doing badly in school or missing school or anything like that.
It seems like at least it's not the first predictor. So subsequent use of cannabis then does lead to still more, you know, disengagement from school, and does end up in this kind of crazy downward spiral, but it really does look like, at least from these data, that the truancy probably comes first, and then the cannabis use subsequent to that. Wayne Hall in Australia has suggested that, in fact, then the cannabis use, in part because of the having to turn to the underground market, creates these peer relationships that are probably not the folks who are most interested in going to school, and then things kind of go down from there. And again, you know, if we had a nice tax and regulated market, this issue would probably be less important as well.
Well, it's good information to get out there. I'm so glad we got to take a look at that today. And thank you, Dr. Earlywine, for joining us again on the Daily Audio Stash.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org. Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Hey, Stashers, I'm proud to announce a new partnership between the Normal Daily Audio Stash and the Global Marijuana Music Awards. The GMMA is run by an Aussie named Tam, and he will be providing the newly revamped Daily Toker Tunes section of the Stash. This week, I'm going to post a few of the GMMA winners from 2008, and the next week, Tam takes over posting new tunes about weed from all different genres. These tunes will also be part of the Marijuana Music Awards competition, and we'll be getting your votes on your favorites as well. Now, The Herb by Franziska from Italy won the 2008 Global Marijuana Music Awards. After becoming the best reggae band at the 2007 European Reggae Contest, Franziska won Song of the Year in the 2008 Global Marijuana Music Awards with the new hit single, The Herb. The song's theme is Legalize the Weed. The 2008 GMMA winners were announced on September 20th in Texas, and Franziska followed the last year's winner, Collie Buds, with his big hit, Come Around, which was named Song of the Year at the 2007 Global MMA. Franziska have just released their third album, Action, featuring The Herb. For more information, check out Franziska's MySpace page at myspace.com/Franziska Band and the website franziska.it. This is Franziska with The Herb.
Destroy the world, why them a fight the herb? When the cracker kill we boys and girls, why them a fight the herb? When the crack and the coke destroy the world, why them a fight the herb? No do no run, say it now, do no hurt. Yo, me blaze, let have me wake up before me go asleep. Who a fight with ganja, them must get defeat. Jibba give me the purple skank, you know say that sweet. Smoke it and be wise, we not done no freeze. Them a question Babylon can't answer. Why them a lock me brother just can't flip on ganja? We no need them things, we no need them sponsor. Yo, fire upon all informer. With them crack and coke, me know say them can't go further. Push niggle in on them vein before them a commit murder. So why Babylon wanna come fight against Rasta? Aye, them can't judge a book by the cover. Why them a fight the herb? When the crack and the coke destroy the world, why them a fight the herb? When the crack a kill we boys and girls, why them a fight the herb?
smoke it in the train and in the private plane. A plant and no powder, but them still a complain. Just on a go play them game. What hear me now? Them better cool and relax. Them don't want the ghetto youth fi grow them locks. Them can't chat. Them can't compound with spot. Show me here the boy a go chop on man back. Them a need that. Them pray fi see we drop. But Jah Jah give me the strength, so we no matter about that. We not flop. Smoke it, no butter stamp. Forward we moving, we not go step back. Why them a fight the earth? When the crack and the coke destroy the world, why them a fight the earth? When the crack a kill we boys and girls, why them a fight the earth? When the crack and the coke destroy the world, why them a fight the earth? No do no wrong, say it now, nah, do no hurt.
Percent of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana, and over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
We've been covering this story about Rachel Hoffman that was profiled on the Dateline NBC show. The story was, of course, the young Florida girl who was killed in a drug sting operation gone bad. And one of the things we want to make sure that we get out to the community out there, especially the younger folks and the people in college, is how severe a danger you face, not from the marijuana, but from its prohibition, and specifically the tactics that law enforcement will use enforcing this prohibition. And joining me right now to tell a somewhat similar story is a guy by the name of Tim Carl, who was a student at UCF, and he's also got a Florida story to share with us. So, Tim, welcome to the Stash, and thanks for being so forward.
Oh, well, anything I can do to just help people out there, and that's what I'm aiming to do here.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of explain what happened in your situation. You were a student at UCF, and you kind of got pulled into a bad situation with law enforcement. Just set it up for our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was going to UCF, and I was living with a guy that was dealing a little bit of marijuana. And a guy called me asking if I knew anyone that could, you know, get him a quarter. And I said, yeah, I talked to my roommate. He had it. And we were to drive over there and just drop it off to him. My roommate had actually just, like, wrecked his car the week before, so I was driving him over there. And we get over there, and he's in the garage with a guy he said is his friend or cousin or something, and they're drinking beers. And the second, you know, my roommate pulls out the bag and gives it to the guy. Three undercover cars, I don't even know where they were, came out of nowhere, and cops with ski masks on and badges around their necks and laser sights come jumping out. There must have been, like, eight of them. Get on the ground. I look down, there's a laser sight on my chest, so I jump on the ground, and, you know, and they pull the guy away, my friend acting like he's arrested too, making us think that, you know, he's busted too, so we wouldn't think he set us up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's kind of what happened, and then they pull us to the side, and, you know, it's cops with masks on intimidating us, and they're saying, you know, listen, you guys just sold, you know, weed to a cop, you know, you're screwed. You know, they're like, are you guys students? And we're like, yeah. They're like, do you have scholarships? And I was on a full academic scholarship. So I'm like, yeah. And like, well, kiss that goodbye. You know, you're done. And they're like, but you know, we can offer you a way out of this, you know, by helping us set up a couple people.
Mm-hmm. So the person that you hadn't known very well, this guy, new guy that shows up, turns out to be working for the police. He had gotten busted before too, and they had done the similar thing to him, I imagine.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So you were going to UCF. You were solid student. Everything was just fine as far as academic, right? You got full academic scholarship.
Yeah, I was A's and B's my first semester. This happened when I was a sophomore, so my first two semesters, my grades were fine.
Okay, and so what happened? What did you do? What was the result of this bust here?
Well, you know, we're scared. We're thinking everything we just worked for all these years, we're going to lose. You know, and we were both students, so of course we agree. You know, we'll do that. And he also tells me, oh, if you don't, I'm going to impound your car right now too, and you're going to jail. So I was freaking out, and I was actually supposed to be at work in like an hour. So I'm like, okay, I'll do whatever I have to do. You know, just let me out of this. So then I didn't know how severe it was going to be, because the next day, like first thing in the morning, he calls me. His name was like Joe. You know, he's like, listen, you need to get working on this right now. Your first bus needs to be 500 beans, which is ecstasy, 500 ecstasy pills.
Oh, now you hadn't been involved in ecstasy at all, had you?
I've never, to this day, never done a harder drug than marijuana.
Okay, so this ecstasy thing's like way out of left field for you.
Yeah, exactly. Never in my life. I've seen maybe one or two people do ecstasy when I was in high school, but never dealt it, never even seen it. You know, don't even know what it looked like.
Okay, so why do you think the police here would think that would be a reasonable thing to have you go and do? Wouldn't they understand that you'd kind of stick out as someone that has never done it, all of a sudden being interested in that many?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. I think that they just knew that I had grown up in Orlando. I knew a lot of people there, and you know, I think they just figured I was in college. I could find it, because you know what? In my opinion, when I went to UCF, marijuana was unavoidable. I mean, I was living in an apartment complex where I was assigned roommates and stuff, and you couldn't. Every other apartment, someone had weed. Like, you had to go to a party; it's always there. You can't get around it. And when you're in college, it's just ridiculous. So the fact that they're setting us up and trying to make us do this, you know, to me, I was way out of left field. And they're trying to make me buy ecstasy on top of all that for my very first bus. So I'm calling all my friends and my fraternity brothers, and I'm freaking out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't told anyone about this. I haven't talked to anyone, my mom, nobody. And I'm just calling everyone. Do you know where I can get beans? You know, my friends are going to a rave. They need it. You know, I don't even know what I was saying. And every day the cop was calling me five times a day. What do you got? I need names. I need this. You know, what do you got leads? What are you going? You know, every day. Every day for like 4 days straight. And then I finally, someone came to me and said, yeah, I can probably get you that. One of my fraternity brother's roommates that didn't deal on that either. He just knew someone that could get it. So I told the cop, you know, but I was so scared. I didn't want to set anyone up. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew this guy didn't deal in this. I was just setting him up just like I had been set up, which was wrong. So I'm freaking out. And I basically decided that I didn't want to do this, and I didn't want to tell anyone, and I was scared, and I was young, I was 20 years old. I decided that I was just going to commit suicide. That's what in my head, I was like, that's what would be better than my mom finding out about this, and because the cop made me think I was going to go to jail, and, you know, I think I was going to prison or something for selling marijuana to a cop. I had no idea what was really going on. You know, I had no idea how easy this really would have been to get out of.
Yeah.
So I wrote one day at work, wrote a suicide letter to a website I had found, and just let them know this is what I was planning on doing. So I actually wrote out the whole situation and said I don't want my mom to find out. She's a single mom paying for college, you know, I just didn't want to have her look down on me for this, and I was just going to go ahead and just kill myself, you know. And I wrote this email.
Wow, that's just amazing. Yeah. That at any point during this, had you thought about contacting a lawyer?
No, because the cop just said, look, we can get out of this, you know, I'll write a letter to the judge.
Right.
It won't be a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
I was young and scared and stupid. I just didn't want anyone to find out, you know.
Yeah, it seems
taking advantage of me. I was naive and vulnerable, and that's what they do basically.
Sure, it seems like the answer to all the problems here is to just cooperate and get it over with and get it out of the way and not be a problem. And you know, and that's the other thing. You know, something that has always grated on my nerves, having gone through public school and college education, is that we don't get this education on what our rights are and how to assert them properly. You know, a simple call to a lawyer, and boy, God, so much of this could have been avoided. And I'm glad you're here telling people about it too, because there's so many people that end up in your situation. What has happened, Tim, since this? How has this resolved?
Well, you know, I just want to say it's funny that you said about contacting a lawyer, because basically what happened was my mom was monitoring my emails. She saw the letter like the next day, came to me, was on my doorstep, you know, crying, I just want you alive and safe. I've already called the attorney. We went to an attorney's office. Attorney took one phone call to the cop. and said, look, what you're doing is entrapment. I'm representing him, da, da, da. And it was over with.
Wow.
You know, I got a plea. I plead down. I got, like, drug court or something and drug diversion or something and 6 months probation, and it was off my record.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And the cop made me think that I was going to go to prison. I mean, I don't. The things he was saying to me, you know, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're perfectly entitled to say those things. A lot of people don't realize that the police can lie during the course of their investigations. Obviously, they can.
Oh, they can. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, they can do these stings where they, you know, change their identity. They can even use drugs in front of you. So don't get the idea that they're smoking with you, that they're not necessarily involved with law enforcement, because they can do that. They can deceive in order to try to enforce the law.
They definitely did. And they didn't have any papers binding. Like, maybe I might have signed a paper at the site when these guys with masks were talking to me. I don't even remember. But I know I never went to the station. Never. He didn't even know me. Didn't know anything about me. Like, he didn't know anything about he had told me that the calls were recorded, that when my buddy had called me to get the weed, and when I found out later they were never recorded, because obviously when I was calling people, they weren't recording my calls to call these people to find ecstasy pills.
Right, right. Yeah. It's an amazing lesson to have to learn, and I'm glad everything worked out for you so well. And I really hope people listening here can learn from what you went through and just call that lawyer. Gotta call that lawyer.
It's not worth it, because, I mean, the alternative, you could end up like Rachel and you could be dead, because these sting operations they were trying to set up were not very, like, planned out very well.
It doesn't sound like it.
I want to say my roommate who got busted with me ended up setting one person up, and he, like, to this day, never lives it down. I mean, he just hates it, you know, that he ever did that to somebody. It was only for, like, some more weed, like an ounce of weed or something, you know. But then after that, I called him. That was, like, the day after I had talked to my attorney. I called him and said, listen, this guy's going to represent you, too, and my attorney represented him as well.
That's great. Well, yeah. We want to encourage everyone who has any problems with their marijuana use and with the law to check out normal.org, and we've got a list of the Find a Lawyer link over on the left. Whatever city or state you're in, we can help you out with attorneys that are represented and members of the Normal Legal Committee. And Tim down in Florida, I want to thank you for calling us and getting a hold of us through email here to tell this story. They don't all end up like Rachel's, but they can all be, you know, very devastating, and I think people are going to really learn a lesson from your story today. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder to get politically active, put down the joint, set the bong down for a second, and make a phone call. Call the White House, 202-456-1111, and tell President Obama to stop the DEA raids. While you're at it, visit the Normal Take Action page at norml.org and look in the left navigation links for Take Action. Find out the state bill that's going on in your neck of the woods and get on the phone to your state and local representatives and have them help put an end to adult marijuana prohibition. It's up to you, and there's a whole lot of us that agree with you. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Until next time. Take care of each other, tokers.